Hi, I'm Yasha, and I'm bringing you episode 6 of the Next Gen Web Series. Today we have Oni Harare in the building, and I know in previous episodes I've said Harare is not my favorite city in Zimbabwe, but today I thought about it, and that place taught me about life, a lot about being street smart and being defiant. So I want to dedicate this episode to the place that raised us. My star today went to Dominican Convent in Harare for junior and high school, and she just graduated from Stanford University with a BA in human biology. I know. Before she starts working as a program manager at WikiHow in Palo Alto this fall, she's stopping by to drop some gems. So say hi to Dumisile Melody Mpamba.
Thank you. Thank you, Yasha, for having me.
All right. Thank you so much for coming. I know you just graduated college. So we're kind of in the same situation right now where the work seems like it's over, but it's not over. So how has that been for you? And we're curious how you've been, you know, spending your time.
Yeah, it's been interesting. So for me, I graduated about 2 weeks ago. And since then, I've very much been just enjoying my best life and being social and doing the opposite of everything that was my last quarter of school. So I had guests come over for graduation and spend some days with them. And then I flew here to Boston, where I'm staying with Trish, who's another student who graduated almost 2 months ago at this point. So I've just been exploring Boston. I went to visit Connecticut and just, yeah, I'm enjoying the East Coast right now and giving myself a bit of a break before work starts.
I might ask about that later, but cool. Interesting choice.
Okay.
okay. So before we dive into everything, you know, your journey, your experiences, I guess we want to know what your, how would you explain to someone your life journey so far and, you know, the highlights?
I was born and raised in Zimbabwe. So I was born in Bulawayo. Both of my parents are Ndebele speaking. My mom also grew up speaking Shona, and then they moved to Harare at some point. So Harare is really the place I call home. Okay. That's the place I really, really know. And I went to an all-girls school, Catholic school, for 13 years, and just always gravitated towards the sciences academically. Growing up, I really wanted to be a doctor. And just a lot of things in school really confirmed that. I'm also a musician. I love to sing, just music in any form. I ended up being part of an a cappella group, and I've really been involved in worship through most of my life. I would say those are the core parts of my identity. And then how coming to the US happened. So I was very much set on, you know, med school.
Where?
In Zimbabwe. Like, I wanted to go to use it. Mm. And I had made a lot of choices to make that clear. Even when I got to A-level, I remember dropping some extracurriculars because I was like, you know what, guys, I need to focus and get those 15 points because they're very no-nonsense, especially given that it's, you know, one of very, very few med schools in Zim. But then I was a librarian in school, and one day the head librarian, she was a teacher, and she was also the career counselor, stopped me and she was like, hey, have you thought about applying to the US for college? And I was like, what? Because I'd looked at the potential of doing medicine in the US, but it just seemed complicated and expensive, and my family didn't have that kind of money. But I eventually reached out to a mentor to talk about it, and then some girls who had gone to my school as well. So I was at Dominican Convent Harare, and they had also done the US. They had come to the US for school. So spoke to them, found out about what scholarship, like getting a scholarship could look like. And I decided to pursue that path. And now 4 years, I guess, after that, here I am, having graduated. Yeah, college was amazing because I got to, again, continue those things I talked about, which was doing science, but also the artistic things that give me life in terms of music. Yeah.
I love that. I also love music a lot. How did you decide you want to be a doctor very early on, and how stable have you been with that decision?
Yeah, so that is an interesting question because I actually decided not to pursue medicine anymore, which is,
When?
yeah, a world changing view for a number of people. So I think I solidified the decision more about 5 or 6 months ago, but I'd been thinking about it maybe since the beginning of senior year. But yeah, in terms of in the beginning, why I wanted to do medicine. I don't think my why has changed, just in terms of the kinds of things that I want to pursue in my life. But I shadowed some doctors in high school after O level, I think. And we also had a program at school where we got to go to Avenues Hospital and just spend a week there learning about the different specialties. And I really enjoyed that. I could really see myself working with patients. And I also worked with patients at a free clinic in college. So that was very nice. And I knew I enjoyed it, and I knew I enjoyed the sciences. I think one main thing, though, is I was frustrated by how inaccessible healthcare was and is actually for many, many Zimbabweans, for most Zimbabweans, I would argue. And that's become even more obvious with the COVID-19 pandemic and just how things have turned out for a lot of people back home. So going into medicine for me was an opportunity to, work with patients and also figure out ways, just kind of learn the language so that I could figure out ways of setting up stuff back home to make healthcare more accessible for, my family members, just anybody and everybody, right? But what then happened was I realized I really enjoy interacting with people, people from different walks of life, especially through the free clinic experience that I had. And I still care a lot about making healthcare accessible and just, these basic needs that people should have that are more accessible in different parts of the world. But I'm currently in a place of figuring out ways to do that outside of the medical realm, because I feel, given the length of the journey to becoming a doctor here, the way I see it in my head, I would like to do more tangible stuff early on. Yeah, so I'm currently looking at different avenues of doing that, whether that's business school or another kind of graduate school, where I can learn those skills of setting things up and then empowering other people who, if they want to pursue medicine, at least they can get a shot at having a healthy life or getting a shot at, whether I start things in education, just setting them up so that they can do things. I feel like I have a lot of energy to do that. And I think I would find more fulfillment from that. So that's how that journey has been for me so far. Check back with in with me in a few years and we'll see
I
how that
definitely
looks.
will. Whoa, that's very interesting. And I think you're not the first person to tell me something like that. Because to be honest, I have people I know who are doctors, and becoming a doctor doesn't take away the struggles that they face as doctors. Like, they are still there. So there definitely has to be someone to work on that. But how do you think going the route you're choosing to go now, how do you think it's going to help? How do you plan to tackle that? I know it's a messy problem, and we are all trying to figure it out, but how do you think you're going to help, as in international development or with business skills or something like that?
I think one thing that comes to mind is leveraging relationships. So going to Stanford, I think it's just, especially this last year, it's just become so clear to me how much a lot of the things and institutions and companies and just initiatives we admire are built on relationships or started from a relationship. And so I think for me, one thing is shifting the focus to those relationships that I can leverage in order to help lift someone up back home. I can give an example where when COVID really started to hit, I think this was around March or April. So I used to volunteer cheer at the child care center, which is an amazing place that I used to go and play on Wednesdays. It was a lot of fun in Harare, and I wanted to help out with just helping them to get supplies, whether it was school things or just food supplies for them to continue their work. So a friend and I launched a GoFundMe to raise money for them. And I remember going through to see who had donated to the GoFundMe. And a lot of it was people that I'd had extensive conversations with in the past, which I just thought was interesting. That just for me, it clicked that, you know, someone else getting food in the middle of a pandemic on the other side of the world, like that has been made more possible because of a relationship that I have with somebody here. So I think one thing for sure is leveraging relationships, whether that happens through entrepreneurship or an exact like platforms like yours as well, right? Where people can share the kinds of things that they're working on so that other Zimbabweans can support them. Another thing, I think education is important. Again, as I mentioned, I really want to go to graduate school, but I think I want to develop a vocabulary for being able to speak with these investors, right? So that they are attracted to doing things in Zimbabwe. If whether I'm the one connection point or I'm one of many connection points, I just think that there is a lot of money in the world and it's concentrated in a few hands.
Right.
Now is a good time to disrupt everything. Exactly.
Yeah.
And somehow shift it over. It may take time, but yeah, I think being exposed to all the wealth that I was at Stanford really made me think about how possible it actually is to enact change.
Right. Yeah. I love how you're very practical with your approach, and it's very funny. I was talking to a friend about these corporations and how they are all these organizations that they say, oh, we are giving back, we're, you know, we help the poor, and then they show like a video for us to, you know, cry sympathy tears. But the truth is they have so much money, but they don't really know what to do with that. And so that's when we need people like you who actually know the real problems and struggles in the areas that we want to in exchange, you know, to actually provide the real frameworks on how to solve the problems. And thank you for saying my platform is going to help. Hopefully people watches, and, you know, it brings people together and people know that, okay, Dumi is going to do this and there's this person doing that, and we can collaborate, because I don't think it's, there's so many amazing Zimbabweans. I mean, you know, obviously one of them, but I think we are much stronger just working together. I think you even answered the question that I was going to ask you about, you know, what do you think people can do about the Zimbabwean situation? And so that is, you know, entrepreneurship and getting together and just using education. So the next thing I wanted to ask is, so you went to Stanford, which is obviously one of the finest schools on the planet. What are you most grateful for? And what were some of the tough moments, and how did you like navigate those?
Yeah, good questions. Just the number of opportunities that were available there. It's not possible to take advantage of everything there. But there's a lot, just whether that's student organizations or ways to... whether that's, you know, exposure to alumni who are doing very cool work, exposure to people who, you know, are working at all the big tech companies, and for it to kind of become normal, it's like, oh yeah, my friend at Amazon, Google, Facebook, like that was very cool for me. So I'm grateful to have had that exposure. I think one super huge thing I'm grateful for there was just the community that I made, especially African students. At Stanford, and just really amazing mentors who pointed me in the right direction when I didn't realize, you know, I needed a direction change, or I didn't know what opportunity was available over the summer, or if I just needed to work through something that somebody had said in class, or even just to have a good time. The Africans at Stanford know how to have a good time.
Okay.
So I'm very grateful for that. I think, yeah, and again, the last thing I would say actually is exposure to just different academic disciplines. As many people know, computer science is one of the biggest things at Stanford, you know, with it being located in the Silicon Valley. I only took my first coding class later on in my career at Stanford. But just knowing about, getting exposure to multiple disciplines, even just within my major, from anthropology to economics to, you know, even the biology that I did, and finding ways to connect all of those, that was very cool. In terms of struggles, so there's this thing at Stanford called the duck syndrome, where if you think of a duck that's like paddling on the water, you know, it looks calm, and it looks like it knows what it's doing, but underneath it's paddling furiously.
Right.
So yeah, that's one thing I struggled with, because a lot of people make things look easy, and there are some like super geniuses there who don't have to think about the work that their homework or their assignments and things like that. But there were definitely classes where I felt it just took me more time. One class in particular, I had to withdraw and then retake later on as a senior. And I'm very glad I did that and gave myself a second chance. But just feeling, just questioning whether I measured up in comparison to those people, not realizing that a lot of other people were also working hard as equally. Yeah. And then another struggle was the social aspect in the first year. It turned out to be harder than I initially thought. I didn't go into college thinking it would be a social experience, to be honest with you. Just
because absolutely is.
Yeah, I'd program my mind. I was like, you know, I'm going to use it. I'm gonna like
I'm here to learn, you don't have to think about it. Because it's just like you can relate to everyone. And then here it's like okay.
Yeah, you have to actually work. So that was a learning curve. I ended up making amazing friends, especially in my second year, and having great experiences onwards. But I think that was a struggle early on that I especially didn't expect.
What do you think is one is like an example of something that maybe during the time that you were really trying to acclimatize to like Stanford or college in the US in general, what's something about yourself that maybe you tried to hide, or something that you were like, okay, let me put this aside. And then now you're just like embracing it and saying, you know what, let me just show everything.
Yeah, I think it was aspects of my Zimbabwean experience slash the African experience. So I think I started to feel more at home within myself in college when I made more African friends. Because for me, it happened the reverse way. Just because of the place where I lived, I was the only African living in my building. Wow. Which is very interesting. Yeah. So then when I discovered the African community, I was like, I can teach these people some words in my language and tell them about my food and about the music that I used to listen to back home and all of that. Really having pride in where I came from rather than focusing so much on trying to assimilate and trying to be like, okay, you know, what is it that everyone else likes to talk about? Then when I was with other Africans, I realized there were a lot of things that we had in common that we like to talk about. So even now when I'm in spaces where I'm in the minority, I'm more comfortable with being like, oh, you know, actually where I come from, we do things this way. Yeah, so that is one thing. I would say aspects of my Zimbabwean experience and my experience being an African. And even just like the way I dress, honestly, just like little patterns and stuff. Right. There was a point where I was trying to hide them and I was like, you know what, no, they must know.
I hadn't even thought about the dressing. You know, in Zim, you know how people slay all the time. I thought I was supposed to slay in college, and then literally I was the only one coming to class wearing a jumpsuit.
Yeah, exactly.
Right now I look back and I'm like, whew, that was weird. But
but you also, I'm sure you always look nice, so
I mean,
that's a good thing that comes
thank
out
you
of it.
Yeah, I think now I look back and I'm like, you know what, it's okay. Whoever is a freshman and might be watching, like, it's fine, embrace it. Now I want to change the conversation and make it like a little more positive, because I think we were talking about, okay, this is a struggle. This is really random. Did you ever watch High School Musical?
Many times. I know all the songs and many of the dances.
Is there any chance that Gabriela Montez was an inspiration to you going to Stanford?
So here's the thing. I was obsessed. High School Musical 3, I don't remember. I think it came out in 2008, but I only really watched it in 2010. And I remember there was a time I used to watch it every day with my sisters because they were both young and they really liked it. And I was babysitting them. So every day at noon, we would watch High School Musical 3. And I think I internalized it so much that at a subconscious level, at the very least, there was like a, you know, maybe Stanford wouldn't be a bad idea. Gabriela is pretty cool.
Right.
So I think there might be something. I don't think it's the full thing, but
especially because she was the combination of a girl who was really smart And then she sang, which you said you love music. So I related so much to her. And I think, you know, so now we're going to do quick rapid fire questions and then we'll go back to talk more about just your story. What's something, this will actually be related about the music thing. Who is your favorite musician? And what's your favorite genre actually?
Ooh, wow. That is a big question. I listen to a lot of music. Let's see. Who is my favorite? This is not a typical answer, but I actually listen to a lot of worship music. So I would say that's my favorite. That's my most listened to genre on Spotify.
Really?
And there's this group called Maverick City Music. They're amazing because I feel like a lot of musicians, especially in the US, a lot of musicians were very much siloed along racial lines. Like that was the most obvious one, but even along genre lines. So they infuse like the more contemplative worship with some gospel songs and just a lot of really cool stuff. So I would say they're my favorite musician, and that would be my favorite. I would say that's my favorite genre. But in terms of non-Christian Man, I listen to so much. I really like retro music. I really like neo soul. So Leon Bridges is one of my favorite musicians as well. And
it's R&B, a guy, so right?
Soul vibes. Mm-hmm. Leon
yes,
Bridges.
I remember him. And he's just a really cool guy. And I even like his hairstyles. He's just really cool. Okay.
Very cool.
Yeah, I thought you were gonna say Beyonce or something, and then I would be like, okay, we're really twins, but it's funny.
I love Beyonce too.
Who is your favorite cartoon character and why?
Actually, Kim Possible, if people remember her, but she was the like secret agent on Disney who was like, you know, what's the sitch? So yeah, Kim Possible, just because she always knew what was up. Great leader, just great thinker, fast moving person.
What is your favorite hobby?
Singing and journaling. For me, it's like a combined thing because sometimes I write like little musical things. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I think you're the first person I've met who journals. Do you journal on a computer or like on an actual book?
Both. So both. I prefer to do it in a book, but sometimes when I'm on the run and I'm like, I just need to get my thoughts out. Doing it on Google Docs. It has also been very good for me.
But I'm so happy you brought that up because I think journaling is so underrated and it just helps like get everything out and get your thoughts in line actually. If you could push a button and make everyone in the world 7% happier, but it would also place a worldwide ban on all hairstyling products, would you push the button?
Oh, because everyone gets to be 7% happier.
Right. Is it worth it?
But hey, guys.
Thank you for thinking about this.
No, because hair can also bring happiness, right? Like, you know, doing your hair nicely.
Yeah.
But then if it's everyone in the world...
And it's only 7%.
Yeah, making people happy. So I would say yes, knowing that people will make a plan for the hairstyling products, just like using nature or something. So I'll just say yes.
Okay. I am so happy you thought about it because the last person I asked was just like, no, who cares about hairstyling products? And I was like, what about your locks? And he's like, people back in the day just did whatever they did. And I was like, okay, fine. If a movie was made of your life, what genre would it be and who would play you?
Very much in the theme right now of a musical. it would be a musical. I was about to say a thriller musical, but then I feel like, my personality is not so much thriller, but I like thriller movies. So musical, maybe Andra Day. So she recently won the BET Award for Best Actress.
Well, and I'm the like, movie, you know, Billie Holiday, something, yeah.
Exactly. So just because of that, just, you know, she has an amazing voice and she's obviously very talented. So I'll just be like, you know what, pay a note to me, even though it really should be the other way around.
The other way. For sure. We can dream. Okay. Yeah. Now, I just want to go back quickly to the main questions. Do you think there was any kind of implication of, or like any adjustment any feeling of like, okay, I feel kind of different being in Harare, and then I am I'm not like from Shona speaking parents, even though you probably learned how to speak Shona.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was always interesting. I wouldn't say I felt a difference per se. My dad felt a difference because he only learned how to speak Shona when he moved to Harare, I guess, at the age I am at now, right? So 23. Mm. That's when he started to speak Shona. So he definitely felt a difference and still feels it. For me, I feel like more of the difference is more when I go back to blues, because my Shona is much stronger than my Ndebele. Ndebele, I understand, because my parents speak that to each other. I've never heard them speak Shona to each other. But then when I try to speak Ndebele, I'm not as
confident. Man,
I really want to be confident. It's such a beautiful language. It's so beautiful. Yeah, so that's the main difference that I would say I felt.
And oh my gosh, but Shona people, I think they need to shape up, because I think a lot of us, we just don't speak the language, and we're like, it's hard. And then it's like, a lot of Ndebele people can speak Shona. So
yeah, exactly.
No way you can say it's hard. Ooh, I have a cool one. You talked about growing up in Harare, which, you know, thank you for sharing that. What do you think are some of your favorite memories in Harare? And favorite place in Zimbabwe outside Harare. So I'll remind you.
Okay, sounds good. Oh, favorite memories in Harare. You know, a lot of it, when I think back now, a lot of it is the really little things where when I try to explain it to people now, I'm just like, wow, guys. I remember, I was talking about this with Trish the other day, but just explaining how people sit in kombis, like the... the whole, like, having four people in the back row and all of that. That's because it was so easy to, like, squish us somewhere, right?
They used me as a commodity. Like, oh, guys, there's a skinny one. Like, oh, my gosh. Anyways.
Yeah. Some of those little things. Even just going to... I have family spread out all over Harare. So even just going to visit people and just how people were just always hospitable, right? And just always welcoming. You know our culture, you know, when you go visit someone, you bring something or they bring something. And just, yeah, that was always nice. I think a lot of the best memories as well were at school. So I was at the Dominican Convent for 13 years straight. So all girls school the whole time.
Wait, did you say 13 years? Like, you did primary and high school?
Grade one all the way up to upper six.
You
in the same car complex, which is,
that's crazy,
you know, on the edge of town. So it was also nice, like, sometimes getting to leave school to go do things even after school or even like during the holidays. And all the social events, like when the Kotko Rugby Festival would happen and how that would end up being a social thing. So I would say those were some of my favorite memories. They all have to do with, you know, people and just a lot of the social things. And I would say favorite place in Zim outside of Harare. So I'm so biased towards the Big Falls, guys, because so I've been there, I think, once or twice. My family actually lived there. Very early on in my life. And literally those waterfalls are just gorgeous. I think any other waterfall in the world does not compare. And I've seen one or two. And it's just like, you haven't been to
a waterfall. Zim is so underrated, honestly.
It's so beautiful. Right. And the, you know, the game parks with the animals. Yeah, so Victoria Falls is my favorite outside of Harare.
Hashtag these Victoria Falls. And there's just this feeling when you're like walking in the rainforest and then the showers come and then there's a wind which blows on your face. It's just like total therapy. Yeah. I think every time I was having major breakdowns in college, they should have taken me to Big Falls and it would have been okay.
It would fix everything.
I know. Who is somebody that inspires you? I mean, obviously you've accomplished things that, you know, many people would want to accomplish, but obviously I think for me it's something that I was talking with Netembe, you know, we love those accomplishments, those achievements, because, you know, they reflect well to other people and they inspire other people. But I think people should also pay attention to your character. So what are some of those people who've built your character or that have like added to your drive, your motivation, and your grit?
Yeah. The very first person who comes to my mind is my mom. This woman wakes up at 4:30 a.m. every day. I'm the first of three, so I have two younger sisters. 4:30 a.m. every day to warm up water for people to bath. Like, even if like back when I was in school, even if I was going to wake up as well, she would make sure she got up to do it. And she would pray in the morning and start to get things ready. And she just does so much because she also works. And, you know, obviously being a wife, a mother, a daughter-in-law, a sister-in-law, like there are so many things that come with each of those roles. Mm-hmm. But the fact that she was also a pastor in the church that I grew up in, right? Mm-hmm. But the first that she balances all of those with grace and doesn't just snap at people. Like, she's a very patient person. And just really hardworking. She even did some more school when I started high school. And I think my siblings were in primary school and the other one was very, very young. So just her perseverance, I think, really inspires me, and her integrity. And she's also she takes care of herself, man. Just even in terms of her appearance.
We love that.
Taking care of other people. I really admire that. So I think, you know, being at Stanford and being exposed to all of these people who are doing amazing things, I'm just like,
my mom is
like,
killing.
She's really where it's at. She's really where it's at. Yeah.
It's so
very good
wonderful.
At budgeting too, taking us through school like that. Yeah.
It's so wonderful that you have a good example, right? I'm thinking that you went to a girls' high school for 13 straight years and you have three sisters and obviously like a mom who is such a good example for you. Also a good example for self-care because she looks great. Like, that's wonderful. But I'm sure your perspective on the world as a woman is in some way, you know, shaped by that background that you have. So yeah, maybe talk a little more about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess this is something I haven't spoken about as much today, but something I'm really, really passionate about is women empowerment. Right. I think I grew up hyper aware of how much women are shortchanged in the world. Just seeing some things that my aunts went through and just women in my extended family have gone through, and not having as much access to, you know, educational opportunity with boys being favored, for example, or just even the way they were treated by men, unfortunately. So I think being a woman has shaped my passion for lifting up other women. And I did a lot of things in college that were along those lines as well. I dedicated two of my summers out of three to women-related issues. When I was pre-med, I was very passionate about maternal health. I still care a lot about maternal health. So I think that women first attitude, now that you bring it up, a lot of it comes from, you know, having been in a girls' school and just being exposed, just being around women all my life and seeing how powerful women are and wishing that the world would, you know, use that same lens to view us, especially Black African women. You know, I feel like there are many layers of things going on there.
Yeah. And they're so powerful. I think even your experience taught you that because you grew up with so many girls and you were seeing them achieving so many things. And then you go out into the world and the world is saying like the opposite, like, oh no, women should be protected. They should be whatever provided for. And it's like, I grew up and they were doing everything and they were very good at it.
Exactly.
What do you plan to do with music or with just singing?
So, number one, I want to learn how to play an instrument. The only instrument I've ever played in my life is my voice. And now I have time, right? Not being a student anymore, to really explore that. For me, it's always been interesting because I've had people be like, you know, you should commercialize the fact that you sing. And I'm like, I don't sing for that. You know, that's never been an interest of mine. But a dream of mine is to create, you know, a collective or collectives of people who are just, you know, making and writing music together. People who are, you know, all passionate about music and especially for me, worship music, I think, and bringing different genres of that, not necessarily into the mainstream, but really just for people's enjoyment, just to create a space for them to escape, create something, and bring joy to themselves as well as to other people. Yeah, that's something I want to do. I think for me, music being communal is just so important. It's been an important part of how I've interacted with music myself. So I want to create that opportunity for other people. Yes. Did I answer the question?
Yes, you did. And that's okay. So interesting to me, because I think I'm also very passionate about music, and but I just love like singing in choirs and stuff. And for me, that's nice. Enough. Like if I can just sing with three people and I'm just like harmonizing, that's enough. So even though like I read all these books and they're like, do something you're passionate about, you know, go to work and feel like you're not going to work. It's so interesting that sometimes you just know that I am super passionate about music, but I'm just happy singing in a choir. That's enough. Yeah. Just singing like worship music or something. So that was interesting to hear you have a similar perspective on that. But, you know, we'll be on the lookout of you playing whatever instruments. So
twins with music. I love it.
Yeah. Okay. So given all these interests that you have, you know, women empowerment, music, healthcare, just uplifting other people, do you have any idea what you want to be part of your legacy? And, you know, if so, tell us about it.
Yeah. So this is a big and important question. I've been thinking about this just having graduated. I think in my last quarter before graduation, that was something on my mind. Having benefited from mentorship myself, I think one big legacy I want, especially for younger women and girls, is to feel like they've been able to do something they didn't think they could do because of an interaction with me somehow. Right, whether that's directly with me or with a mentee of mine or reading about my story or something. But I really want, like, it would just bring me a lot of joy to know that people got to do things. And it doesn't have to be like super achievement oriented either, because I feel like a lot of the things that we reward in society are very much along the lines of achievement.
Flashy,
but, like,
yeah.
Exactly. It doesn't have to be flashy, but just a different way of thinking about the world, or, you know, if they're now able to challenge opinions in a better way because of something that I once said somewhere. I think that I would love that. I would really love that. And the second thing is, so the first thing was mentorship. The second thing, again, creating opportunities for other people. This is something I'm really still working towards, but whether that's creating opportunities for entrepreneurs, especially women entrepreneurs who dominate, who actually there's more women entrepreneurs on the African continent than male entrepreneurs. Fun fact, right? Whether that's empowering women entrepreneurs or just creating opportunities for people to feel like they can really add value to their surroundings. Yeah, whether that's getting a job or creating jobs for other people or getting to just create something with their hands, you know?
Yeah.
So I would say mentorship and improving access to opportunities.
Yeah, I think there's such a good marriage between the two things, right? The mentorship and the creating opportunities. Because I think, you know, you said there are many women entrepreneurs. There are more women entrepreneurs on the African continent than men. It could still be like they are there, but how long do they stay in the business? How long do they stay with confidence or like capital or like fellow people they can look up to? So then the mentorship comes in. It's like there's other women entrepreneurs who've been there for a long time and they're like, girl, you got this. All you need to do is do this and that. Mm-hmm. So I love that those two things actually have a good marriage together. Just to close off, we're going to do two final quick questions. Mm-hmm. What compliment, by the way, beautiful legacy, like who wouldn't want that? What compliments do you get most from people?
Oh geez. Well, I feel like my brand is very strong through this interview, but it usually has to do with singing. I was part of an a cappella group in college, which is pretty wild.
I don't know how to pronounce it. Is it the one that starts with a T?
Yes, Talisman.
Okay.
I was part of that. So I get people come up to me who are like, oh my gosh, I saw your show. You're amazing. And I think it's also because I'm 5 feet. I'm short. I'm petite. I love my height. But my voice doesn't sound the way I look, if that makes sense. It somehow
it's
got
big.
Deeper in college. And just the singing voice. So it's usually like, oh my gosh, like your voice is so big. So yeah, I really appreciate that.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. What compliment do you wish people would give you more, you know. Mm-hmm. Obviously being like a Chaka Khan is like amazing enough, but yeah, what do you think you wish people would say about you?
I would love to sing like Chaka Khan.
No, but if your voice is big, like that's the part, it's like Chaka Khan, Aretha Franklin.
Oh my gosh, wow. Woof, these big women. I appreciate that. Let's see.
Also, while you're thinking, like you like sang this song when Zimbabwe hit that March, whatever. Unfortunately, things haven't gone well, but I remember you singing that in 2017 and that was so beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, people have recently reminded me of that and I'd actually forgotten that that happened. That was an emotional.
We were very passionate, I know.
Yeah, especially not being there, you know,
right,
being far away.
I wish I were there.
Let's see, a compliment I wish I received more. I think it would be along the lines of, let's see, I pour a lot of time into people. So sometimes I wish that, you know, would be noticed more. I think, okay, yeah. So where it comes from is American culture is very, you know, big, showy, like the loudest person in the room gets the most attention, that kind of thing. And I, you know, my voice is big. My personality, on the other hand, like I wouldn't say I'm a shy person, but I tend to take things more slowly and I'm really thoughtful in the way I talk to people and in the way, yeah, just in how I interact with people, which doesn't get noticed as much. But I think, you know, I think I've helped a lot of people in that way, just getting them to slow down and really think about like if they want to make an important decision. And people have actually come up to me and say, you know, thank you for helping me to slow down and really think through that. So maybe something along those lines. But that one is interesting because it's like,
no, it's very beautiful.
In it itself,
I love it. I love it because I relate to it so much. I was actually having an argument with a friend because he was like, oh, if I wanted to reward someone, I would reward someone who does something super big and then they attract like more customers or something. And then I was like, how about someone who consistently shows up every day and is like being thoughtful, but in a small way? And he was like, oh, no, this and that. And I was like, no, you know, I don't know if you're an introvert, but I'm definitely an introvert and I'm definitely more thoughtful with things and it's hard to get noticed, but it's okay. You know, we are making
introverts are powerful. There are many, there are now more books about it. So,
you know what? Extroverts are great too, because I have extrovert friends and they help me out when I go to parties. So we love you extroverts, but yeah, equal opportunities to everybody. Jumi, it's been so wonderful having you. I've had you for more time than as usual. This sucks. But thank you so much. You are such a good example to so many people out there and you're so humble despite all that you've accomplished. And I wish you the best in whatever you're going to do in the future. And, you know, I just hope your character continues to grow and that, you know, you and your sisters and all the other girls, we keep doing more for the world.
Oh, thank you so much. And I was so excited to see that you'd started this initiative. So thank you for doing this. Thank you for inviting me on. And I'm going to keep supporting you when you post things.
Oh,
everyone
thank
needs to
you.
Hear about this.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. Do me a favor. And do me
follow me on Instagram, everybody. Do me a favor.